Welcome to another World Cafe Words and Music podcast from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. Today we have an opportunity to introduce you to a new project from a band that has some pretty well-known members. I'll be talking with Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol, along with Peter Buck from REM, who are at the heart of Tired Pony, whose album comes out September 28th. Other members include Snow Patrol's Ian Archer, his wife Miriam Kaufman, Bell and Sebastian percussionist Richard Coburn, REM Scott McCoy, and She and Him, M. Ward, and Zoe Deschanel, who do vocals. The performances are from a special concert at the Forum in London on July 14th. My conversation with Gary and Peter took place the day after. And I started out by asking Gary Lightbody if the people that became Tired Pony came together organically.
That's the way this record came about, really. It was like a very easy process. Of getting people involved. Everybody that I asked to be involved from when I had the idea said yes. We didn't come up against any roadblocks. I didn't go to some rock Rolodex either. You know, it was just like, it was almost like chance meetings and old friends.
It's a great crew, and at least witnessing last night, seemed to really play well together. The comments that come out in advance was this is written sort of as a look at the darkness in America. How important is that context to really enjoying this record?
It's not important at all. It's not really a record about America as America's darkness. It's a love letter to America for the most part, to be honest. You know, I have a great fondness for American culture. It's given me so much. It's given me a career for a start, you know. I was inspired by Nirvana and REM and Soundgarden and Pearl Jam, you know, American rock bands, the Pixies, and in the first place to, pick up a guitar kind of and to write songs, I guess. After I lost my affinity with metal, which is my first obsession, and actually started to hear songs, bands that played songs, bands that played from the heart, bands that didn't have any machismo it opened up a whole new world for me, and that's still the thing that I'm carrying on today, a song as as a collective moment.
Was it written in the U.S.? Because for instance, Northwestern Skies, I was thought maybe it was one that came up in the studio.
Well, for sure, the lyrics were all written in the studio. I hadn't had any lyrics beforehand, and half of the record, at least, was written as we were going along. I had a few sketches, those sketches I took to the band, and we rewrote together from that point onwards. I had no finished songs. I had no suggestions to anybody about what to play. Everyone decided what they were going to play by themselves, and it was a collaborative process. There's no point in me coming in and telling Peter Buck what to do, for crying out loud.
So Peter, when did you come in? Because it seems like you and Scott McCoy just love putting yourselves in these kind of collaborative situations.
Yeah, I think we've been on your show like six times with five different bands.
Exactly.
Work is one of the things I do. I'm good at this. I like doing it, and I'm not really sure what else I'd do with my time. And Garrett Lee, who produces our records in Snow Patrol, just said, Garrett's going to do some recording. What if we did it in Portland? Would you and Scott come along? And I just thought, yeah, that sounds great. I respect his work, and we didn't know each other very well, but we knew each other. And I just thought, well, he's a nice guy. I really like his singing and his writing. Let's see what happens. But, I didn't have any kind of clue as to where it was going to go or what was going to happen. It was a full 8 days of complete 12-hour day commitment,
Wow. Now, how would a song form, though? It's really interesting. That's a really short period of time, I would think. What do I know? But...
I guess we, I had the sketch of the song, say four chords, and, if we're very lucky, another three chords for a chorus, but not very often. We'd play it around in the kitchen. Everything seemed to start in the kitchen of the Type Foundry in Portland, and go into the studio and maybe run through it once, maybe not even, maybe run through it like half, you know, half the song, and then we would record, and it would be one take or two takes, and that would be it. You know, there was no scratching of heads and gnashing of teeth and stressing about, you know, well, should it be this style or that style? We just went in and played the song, completely spontaneously. And
Dead American Writers is the, I guess, the first U.S. single as such for this album, a great anthem. How did that song get written?
Well, you know, before we went in to record, Garrett handed me a short stories compilation of Flannery O'Connor, and just said, you know, I said I was big ideas before. I wanted to write the great American album, you know. I talk big, but you know, here we are. And Garrett said, "Well, you got to read this then." And you know, I'd read Flannery O'Connor before, but you know, the short stories were, just, you know, right from the, you know, her first published writing. You know, so I guess it was me saying thank you to Flannery O'Connor for the inspiration. So there we are. Although the title of the song is a little blunt, I guess.
Yeah, seriously. Great song. Really, really well done. Well, I want to talk a little bit about what people are going to hear in this concert, because it was kind of a special night. And it's interesting that it's the kind of thing that was so intimate, you kind of felt that it should have been in a club rather than a theater. Gary, were you nervous about having people hear? Number one, people are hearing these for the first time. I mean, most people, unless they somehow got a hold of this, I haven't heard these songs before. But it's kind of an odd concert situation.
Well, yeah, I suppose, you know, coming straight into like a new band, but being familiar with the people on stage, but and yet it's a completely, you know, you can't. I mean, there was somebody did call out for a Snow Patrol song, and I think I heard an REM song, and there was a Scott McCoy song was called out at some stage as well. But so there were people in the audience that were clearly fans of individual bands, separate from Tired Pony, that came along just out of curiosity, probably. But I think everybody realized that this was something that was kind of. This was, new to us too, you know, and they were willing to go along in the spirit of the thing. You know, the atmosphere in the room was amazing from the start. It was so, they were so receptive to everything that we were doing, and they clearly could tell that we were experimenting as we were going along as well. You know, this wasn't, none of these songs were set in stone.
Peter, it says right here that you say this feels like a band. What do you think? Is there any possibility? Do you guys have any time that you could get something of a Tired Pony tour thing going?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, given that Snow Patrol is going to make a new record and probably go on the road for 8 months, and REM's got a new record that'll be out around the same time. But Gary and I both like to work. We're going to make another record, I think, in January, and try to do, we'll do maybe a few shows in America, maybe do some shows in January at the same time. You know, we could fit it in. It's also a vacation from our regular work. So, you know, it's not like we have a career that we have to maintain. If we put out two records in 8 months and then take 2 years away, then that's the way it works. I'm completely fine with however it goes. But it's something that we're going to pursue, for sure.
Does doing something like this, I guess I could ask you to do this, doing a project like this, have any reading or have any effect on your work with your main bands? Do you take anything from an experience like this back?
Yeah, ideally, you know, every experience that you go through changes you to some degree. And the way that the Tired Pony thing came about, the spontaneity in the studio, the working really quickly, the not overthinking, is something that I feel is part of my job to bring into REM. And it just kind of reinforced that, you know. And it was a very moving and emotional kind of experience. And it was quick. And, you know, we were done, and I didn't really even know what we'd done until a month later. So, yeah, I definitely brought some of that feeling back to my guys.
Gary, will writing be different when you start writing for Snow Patrol?
Or sure. This has changed an awful lot for me personally. And the Snow Patrol guys, I mean, two of them were there last night, the two that were in London. The other two had sent messages to say good luck. You know, they love the record, and I think that they are hopeful that I've brought some things back to Snow Patrol from this. I think they're expecting it, and I think they'll be glad that we maybe take a new direction the next time. You know, we hit a few brick walls. We were making the last record, and I think a fresh look would be this is the exact right time for Snow Patrol to change things up considerably.
Well, we should stop talking about this and go to the stage because there's some really nice performances here from the Forum in London. Gary, Peter, thank you guys so much, and we'll go to the stage.
Thank you.
Western sky, girl, you were beautiful before, but in the cyclone I love you more. There's a pause and the faintest smile as the storm rages on for miles. There's no answers in the tempest, just a million other questions. So just let got ridiculous, 'cause it's burned through the both of us, and in the crumble down cinema, we can hide where we always hide. Project our lives, me as husband and you as wife. As the storm outside dissipates, the screen wipes the ticker tape. There's no answer in the tempest, just a million other questions. So just let it take you over, so that we can learn our lesson. There's no answer.
The farther wide, the better new. In this crimson light, I find the truth. And truth is like a punch or two. It hits you hard and knocks you through. So I get on the road and write to you. I get on the road and write to you. It's like a fight that neither wins. One tender payment for our sins. You are the drug that I can't quit. Your perfect chaos is the perfect fit. So I get on the road and write to you. I get on the road and write to you.
Lisa Hannigan. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
1, 2, 3.
Betsy and Esme.
I Am a Landslide, live on stage at London's Forum last July 14th from Tired Pony, and our thanks to Samuel Bell for mixing that concert. The album, The Place We Ran From, comes out here in the U.S. September 28th, and they will play a couple of shows here in the U.S. as well at the beginning of October. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. Thank you for spending your time here with the World Cafe.